The following is a presentation of Stewed Productions.
Hey everybody, Josh back with you for another episode of Interbrews. This is where I remind you that Patreon page is still a thing. So if you want to help support this show, go to interbrews.com/Patreon or patreon.com/interbrews or follow the link on the show page. And you can help support the show for as little as a dollar an episode and get exclusive content. And good news, big news, if you're a fan of the show, we've got all the things in place to start adding video. Even in these lockdown times, video is now a thing coming to Interbrews. So go subscribe to our YouTube page and then also check out Liquid Lunch, hopefully coming more often than ever before. So all those things, you can help it all move along by supporting on Patreon. Thanks in advance. Now on to my conversation with Tom Painter from No Label.
This is Interbrews.
Hey everybody, welcome to an episode of Interbrews again. I don't know what you call this. Tom, we need a new... I've been saying this since the beginning. We need a new name for whatever this is.
Quarantine, COVID, whatever. It's a crazy time, man.
Yes, it is. Tom Painter, that's the voice you hear. No Labels, Tom Painter. I don't know. Oh, there we go, right there. Y'all aren't seeing the video. I'm very close, Tom, to adding video to this thing. I'm super excited about that. Another bucket of fish hooks to add to the whole process, but it's going to be a lot of fun. But my No Label sign is on.
Well, that just make your life a little bit more complicated, though.
Yeah, it's what
so
we need.
Just be one more thing to worry about.
Mm-hmm. It's what we need right now, for sure. But welcome into Interbrews for the first time.
Yeah, man, it's good to be here.
I feel like
this weird, wacky COVID world.
Yeah, I feel like we've been traveling in the same solar system for a very long time, but our revolutions have not lined up just, you know, to sit down and have a beer together.
Right. There's a few people in this world that, just like you and, Ralph with I Threw No Beer, we were kind of doing the same thing where we're just kind of in each other's, we have all the same friends.
Mm-hmm.
I could like go into like John Denman stories or whatever, all day long. And everyone knows those people, but it's like somehow just never connected. So,
yeah. Well, let's let the Interbrews. I mean, most of everybody that listens to Interbrews probably has heard you either on Drink of Ages or What's on Tap. But this will be the audio quality is a little more magical. No, I don't know. It's all good. But let's get to know Tom Painter. And you know what? First of all, I got to say I'm having a beer for this episode. I've got some sitting side haze.
Cider?
Yes, sir. And proper glassware.
Well, the good thing about being in my house is I could just roll out a beer anytime.
I'll say that it's... You. Thank you. Because I don't mind drinking alone. It's a burden as a craft beer podcaster that I sometimes have to shoulder. But it's good not to shoulder that alone. I don't, what you got?
This is Houston Hefe Hitters. It's our Hefeweizen. It's like El Jefe, but essentially we added orange and tangerine.
Okay.
We called it, it was in our tap room for a little while as a Brumosa.
Mm-hmm.
And then our sales manager, Ryan Lewis, he was like, this beer is delicious. It needs to go wide. In the market, but it just needs a different name. And our brewers wanted to make a more purposeful batch, you know, instead of just kind of just adding the orange and tangerine like flavoring at the end. So Houston Hefe Hitters was born, and we were trying to do the launch opening day for the Astros this year, and of course that all just I had bought all this merch for this. We were going to do this big rollout, Houston Hefe Hitters. It was going to be huge. And I had, like, all this stuff in this room. And I'm just, like, I've just been staring at it. Just like, well, this is for the opening day rollout that, you know, never happened. So it's just, you can't predict anything, too. And then same thing happened recently for 4th of July, because, you know, we were all like, all right, 4th of July weekend's going to be a big, it's going to be a big boom. And then I was like, no, no, it's not. You're shut down again. It's like, oh, back in this mess.
Yes. You know, I want to pay a compliment to the marketing side of No Label specifically right now, because you guys have just been, as far as like every day, you've been, that's how I keep up with how long we've been in, is your posts on Facebook and LinkedIn. When I see the No Label, oh, quarantine day number, what are we on, 73 or 4 or something like that? It's
78 right now.
70, I see.
I believe.
There you go. That's good. But every single day, you guys have something new there. You got the beers, you know, to go. You've got the masks. You've got all kinds of cool merchandise.
Yeah. And,
you know, for a time that is not ideal, you guys have been keeping the fun in it. And your post, it's been a little bit of sunshine in an otherwise dreary existence. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for us, too, because we just otherwise, like, it's hard, man. Because, what are we doing sometimes? Because we have no – we're a brewery, and we have no bars to distribute beer to. Everything is more or less grocery stores, and then we have the drive-through. And it's just – but we have a sales team, and we have people – and everyone's so confused about what exactly is kind of going on. We get questions all the time. It's like, are you guys open? Are you guys not? And it's like – no, we're closed again, and very early on, we made a conscious decision to just kind of really dive hard into this and try to make the best out of a bad situation. And a lot of that is like we brought in early on a lot of our regulars and a lot of our staff and some of people in the beer industry just to like do short video clips, mm-hmm. like interviews with them, just to kind of like, hey, we got some downtime. Let's have a conversation. And it's the only way we can get people into the brewery and actually have a beer, you know, mm-hmm. and see it during a shutdown. So,
well,
it's been wild.
Yeah. Those clips are great. It's some of the most entertaining content. Like, and I feel like we're all just consuming so much content right now, so much streaming, you know, shows and everything. But those little clips were it's been some of my favorite viewing through this whole thing. So, again, keep that up, because that was like the highlighting your regulars and things like that, I think it really is what a brewery is all about, right? Those moments, the escape from, you know, the drudgery and the, you know, in a normal time, you know, you work a hard, you know, week at work, and then you want to go have a beer at a fun place with good people. And it was just a little, they're little encapsulations of the, and shot really well too. I mean, just the whole deal.
Yeah. Yeah. That's our guy, Josh, who was, who also works at Beer Chronicle. Mm-hmm. We brought him on the end of February, which was, I guess, great timing. Because 2 weeks later, the world turned upside down, and I keep on telling him one day we'll get back to the normal routine, because he's never known like what that is. Like, we had this initial game plan that just went out the window. But yeah, those video bits are great, and we had Rudy from Homebrewed Brass Ensemble, mm-hmm. plays a lot of breweries around town. We did an interview with him, and he was just having a beer at a bar. This is about maybe like about 2 months into the first lockdown. And he was having a beer like after his shoot. He was looking around. He's like, oh man, I miss this. I miss the bar. I miss the lean. I miss everything. It was like this emotional moment. It was like, mm-hmm. yeah, man, we miss it too. We miss the people.
Yeah.
Like, that's half the fun of this is, you know, people talking over a pint. Yeah. And, being back in the situation now, it's pretty heartbreaking, to say the least.
Yeah, and the hardest part of this one was, one, you know, that it came out of the blue, you know, pretty much out of the blue. I mean, I guess, I don't know, we knew numbers were rising, that sort of thing, but the shutdown came just, hey, by the way, at lunch today, y'all are done, and that was, what, at 9 a.m. or something like that. Just, you know, thanks for the heads up, you know. Yeah, kind of a gut.
Yeah, that shutdown happened, and we Lindsay and a lot of the taproom team was headed up to the brewery immediately. It was like, all right, we need to turn this back into a drive-through in, you know, 90 minutes. So let's go. And we have, you've been out there. It's, you know, our space is a very large yard. Mm-hmm. And we had, we were ideally placed for social distancing because we just had all the tables like spread out like 6 to 8 feet. And, but to convert all that to the drive-through, we had to, you know, essentially move all those tables back into a corner and get our, we have our little nook and merch wall and beer wall, and just so people can just drive in and drive around. Mm-hmm. And, our team did it. when it hit noon, there we were, mm-hmm. back at the drive-through again.
Well, you know, it's a stressful time, but I think, you know, once we get through it, and I, however that happens, and this is the optimist in me, I can't help but be optimistic, and knowing what it is, how good it is to sit down and have a beer at the brewery with friends and family. I take my family out to No Label, pretty regularly. We've had a lot of Saturday and Sunday afternoons after, you know, family events and stuff at the brewery. And just to know how good that is, and when we finally all get to sit down, and hopefully at some point, because you guys do have such a big area out there, I hope that the state will say, okay, this can be done safely. Obviously, it's not the same, you know, all these, they one big fail swoop, like just lumping everybody together. Just, it's a very frustrating thing, but look, you know, I guess it is what it is. And I have faith in you guys to, you know, it'll be better on the back end.
I hope so, man. I mean, the team is definitely as close as it's ever been. Mm-hmm. And definitely everyone we're hustling and bustling in so many different ways, especially on the marketing side. But it's like, man, every time we try to get like a little momentum, like a few steps in, then, you know, it feels like you're getting just like knocked down a bit. So mm-hmm. it's hard to even make plans. And then and then there's also the logistics of this whole mess, which are, we have problems. It's getting harder and harder to get like cans. Mm-hmm. There's like a huge crunch right now. Just like crowlers are like just like a rarity at the moment, but even regular, these bad boys, it's getting harder and harder to get because everyone is, with distro shut down essentially nationwide, everyone's just trying to put package like out the door. Mm-hmm. I love growlers, but everyone prefers usually a crowler or a six pack to go instead. So yeah. There's so much demand for cans right now and not enough out there that I think if this keeps on going, you're going to just enter kind of a mess come October.
Yeah, it might be bring your hands, put them under the tap, and we'll fill them up. And it's you can drink as many handfuls as you want. I don't know.
Something.
BYO cup.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one of the turns that happened during this thing is we hadn't done growlers in a long while. And then because of this, with the can crunch, we started getting growlers again. And it's like, oh, I remember these guys. Throw it in the back of the car, drive around with it, mm-hmm. wherever you are. You know, like fill her up. Oh, well, yeah. So it's been and now we probably got 1,000 growlers just sitting at the brewery ready to go.
Yeah.
Just in case.
You know what? I think it's an interesting, like, how things kind of push us to do things a different way. So it's one of those things where we had growlers, and then the crowlers became a thing, but then it was against the law,
right?
And they had Crowler Gate, and at Cuvée when the SWAT team comes running in, or TABC, whoever it was, and that seems like a lifetime ago.
Right, yeah.
But we all were just like, okay, now we have crowlers. You know, we could just get these big, awesome cans. But growlers, you know, let's look at the bright side of a growler. You get a growler fill, it's fresh beer, and They don't keep as long as, say, a crowler, that, you know, a closed crowler, but it's more. Mm-hmm. You can get the 64 ounces, and that is a perfect amount to share with one or two of your friends or family or whomever on that day. And you go back the next day and get another, you know, a different style of beer or whatever. And it, in a way, I think it could lend to, I don't know, a more in-the-moment enjoyment of the beer. I mean, cans are awesome, obviously, but when... You know, I'm not going to turn down a growler of beer ever. So what do we need to do to make that maximally enjoyed? You know, that's, I don't know, maybe we need to focus on that, because I'll never turn down a growler. But anyway, let's, I want to ask you about how you got to know Label. That's, yeah, let's go into the Wayback Machine and cover that story, because... You know, No Label's been around for, what is it? Is it how long?
We're turning 10 right after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
I think technically we're probably 10 right now, when Brian and Jen probably pushed out their first keg. But in terms of the first beer sale, mm-hmm. I believe it's right around that Thanksgiving time. So yeah, it'll be 10, and I keep on telling people, like, if we make it to the anniversary party coming through this, like, we will have earned it. No Label, how did I get there? So years ago, like a decade or so, I used to do a lot of freelance videography and photography, and then became marketing consulting, and I started doing work with St. Arnold back when it was just St. Arnold. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of years later, there's a startup that's starting in north of Washington, and some friends want me to meet a guy that's over there, and so I go and meet Rasul with Buff, and he's talking about, you know, starting this brewery, and I'm in my head, I'm thinking, oh, no, we got St. Arnold, we don't need any more breweries, but I'll work with you, because, you know, beer. And so I was with them for a few years, just like on a kind of retainer, like contract, you know. And so I was doing work with St. Arnold, and I was also doing work with Buff, and at some point I started doing work with Fort Bend, may they rest in peace. And then that led to when Fort Bend went under, I would like to still work with, and like, I liked working with St. Arnold and Buff, and I was like, I would like a third brewery, because there was really the contrast whenever I would do work at St. Arnold, and then I would go to Buff, and then I would go to like Fort Bend or something. Just like, it was really interesting just to see the way the businesses just operated, mm-hmm. just completely differently, and because they were at completely different scales. But then I got connected with the Arroyos, and Jennifer was just a sweetheart, and I started doing video work for her that turned into some social media stuff, and then we parted ways for a little bit, but we were still in touch. And meanwhile, I have a lifelong friend who, he owns a construction company in town, mm-hmm. and he's been kind of wherever I am, he's not too far, like, far behind. And he was like, he's like maybe we should get into this brewery business, yada yada yada. And so we started looking at one point maybe buying some of Fort Bend's old equipment and starting our thing in Sugarland. But then we were looking at the Sugarland market, and it was just like nothing about it was kind of thirsty at all. Sugarland's a weird craft beer black hole for reasons. But then Brian, and then I was mentioning this to, I was talking to Brian and Jen one night about all this stuff, and they're like, oh, well, if you guys want to get involved in craft beer, you know, we could like open up some equity for you guys, and you guys could come in here. Or we think Brian's parents, they may want to step out because they want to retire, and you might be able to like come in that way. I was like, oh, okay, well, yeah, let's talk. And I told, you know, I was talking to my friend Garrett, and he was like, "How was your experience at No Label?" And I was like, "It was great. I mean, they're the best people in the world. They're super nice. I think, you know, there's definitely room for improvement, like, you know, because especially the way the crappier world was when No Label started to where it is now is, like, it's really amazing. When they started, there was like 3 breweries in town. Mm-hmm. It was and now there's, you know, it's like 56. I mean, it's just like it, and the market is just it's aggressive. It's all, you know, it's if anything, it's like it's labels and beer releases and constantly kind of like you need those spikes. You can't just be a production brewery that sits on four, you know, the same 4 beers. And I mean, you gotta just like you gotta keep on grinding and innovating and throwing back, and like the narrative is a lot more competitive and like and aggressive. And having seen that for years is kind of what Garrett and I put into No Label. And then at one point, Brian wanted to kind of like take a step back from No Label. And then through a lot of conversations that happened over many, many months, the transition became where Garrett and I took over the majority of the business. And in the past year and a half, we've tried to usher it more into kind of that more aggressive beer release centric world. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that was just kind of refreshing the brand. I mean, nearly completely cleaning up some things in the brewery, just really doubling down on the culture that Brian and Jen kind of created, that family friendliness, that that friend sunshine beer, those good vibes. And we were, man, were we hitting some great momentum coming into this year. We were like, we had got so many like monkeys off our back, and then we were just coming into that. We had this year was it started out pretty hard for No Label. Our taproom manager, his wife worked for us. She had passed away through a fight with prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. And that really tore at the heartstrings for us. And then, but through that, we hired Lindsay as the taproom manager full time in January. And then we hired Josh. And then we had had all these great things on the horizon. And kind of COVID kind of threw a curveball for us. I think we definitely made the best of it, like we talked about before. But in any case, that's the long, not short of it on how I ended up at No Label, I guess.
Yeah. Now, it's been an interesting, you know, evolution to watch, because, you know, I have pictures of my girls. They're in middle school now, and they were little bitty at, you know, on the old side, on the equipment back when No Label had first opened. You know, it's like, get up there and we'll take a picture. Like when I'd first gotten into craft beer, and I don't even know if I'd started I don't think I had started the podcast yet. And if I had, it was, you know, it still wasn't very good. Oh, wait, it's just, you know, and just to watch No Label develop and grow and the new beers and everything. And now it, you know, obviously everything has kind of that asterisk of what's going on, what we're in the moment of, but you know, to watch all the new beers and to watch the new branding and the, you know, all of that, it's been really fun to watch. So, I don't know, your energy with the brand and everything, it's palpable. It's like, you see it, I don't know. I'm just going to pay that compliment to you, Tom. It's been fun to watch that. So,
thank you. I mean, it's a lot of it, most of it's really just, we've got a great team, and especially like Lindsay and Josh, they're great. They're competent. They're full of it. Like they're full of energy, and they're talented. And just people across the board, just put their hearts like into that NL. And you know, we're not trying to, sometimes like we're just trying to basically, not enable them, but like they're trying to like as best they can to accomplish goals, and we're just trying to like get out of their way and do our best to like, you know, support them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the team's fantastic, and couldn't be more proud of him. That's for sure.
Well, let's talk a little bit about beer. What your wheelhouse? You know, if you're just a typical day for Tom, he's like, man, what are you going to gravitate towards most likely?
When I started with craft beer, I went for just those boozy barrel aged, you know, but like whatever like gets you to that crazy place the quickest. And then as time has gone by, I'm so much more of a Ale Jefe 1980, you know, just, I like light, refreshing beers, you know. John Denman from, he's always like, oh, I'm going to come over. I'm going to bring a bunch of hazies. I'm like, no, I don't want any of these hazies. Like, give me some, just give me Calavera Lager all day long. Like, you know, for coming with a spindle tap. Cause I like refreshing beers that are light and that I can keep the conversation going as long as I possibly can.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll definitely drink, you know, like a side haze or Houston haze or Ghost of the Machine or like, but if I had my go-to, then it's going to be something light and sessionable where just enough where I feel like, you know, it has a little bit of a kick, but I can just like, just keep that conversation going. Mm-hmm. Cause that conversation to me is like the best part of kind of this industry that kind of it's like productive socialization. Mm-hmm. Like I love seeing these people's faces and constructively talking about, you know, life and industry. And that's some of the stuff I'm kind of missing right now again. So,
yeah. Well, you know, and I'm right with you as far as I find myself drinking a lot of, you know, Kolsch's and lagers and things like that. I think when this first hit, I was drinking a lot more. I had a 2-week period there where I was locked down they said that I had COVID, but it was actually a blood test. It's one of those things where it's like, I'm kind of tired of talking about it, but it's, I was given a blood test, right? And they said, oh yeah, you got it. But then you go after 12 days of sitting in the room by myself and having sandwiches slid under the door to me by my kids. Here, Dad, we love you. Here's a sandwich. You know, I'm like, oh, well, they don't even know. And then you go get a test and it's like, oh, it's negative. Oh, okay. So I didn't need to be here for the last 2 weeks. That's nice. But after that, I would recommend this, not staying in a room for 2 weeks. Although that does help you to appreciate some things on the back end.
And after your kids slide food under the door. Yeah, that doesn't sound too fun.
No. But it was, actually, sometimes they would put it on a plate and leave it by the door so I could open the door and grab it. And they would give me a few minutes outside. They would clear out and let me meander around the backyard in circles to get some sunlight from every now and then. But
that's so funny.
But it was, there was a 2-week period where I didn't have any beer at all. You know, I'm just drinking water and taking vitamins and all this kind of stuff, trying to just waiting for the moment where, you know, COVID's going to get me. And it never did. And I'm still taking the vitamins, which I recommend to everybody, which people are probably tired of me saying that, but get that vitamin D. And, you know, it, that first beer after tasted so good. It was, what was my first beer back? It was a Live Oak Pils or something. And it's just, you know, good, a good beer that just, you know, crispy beers. And I would recommend every once in a while taking a few days off and then coming back and getting, a beer again. Cause I don't know, sometimes when you're doing beer every single day, even though a beer a day is fantastic, a little time away will help you appreciate a little more.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I'll usually go on like a 2-3 day break every week. But then I'll go like, you know, the other 4 days, like pretty hard, start soft and it gets hard. And COVID was, man, when that quarantine first happened, geez, I was, the first week I was like I was an angel, but things quickly just got into, man, I mean, it was like, cause especially when that kind of shelter in place, it was like, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. And, it was, also stressful times. incredibly stressful.
Yeah.
And we're Gary, my business partner, and I, we're also in we have investments in a few places around town that are all kind of restaurant based. Mm-hmm. And having them all kind of like in jeopardy all at once was I was gonna have a stroke. But luckily it seems like everyone's kind of making it out to the other side so far. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of sums it up right there. That should be the motto. If you can put that on a T-shirt, you know, everybody'd be like, "Yeah, I'm going to wear that T-shirt because we're thinking it right now." I don't know. Well, let's, if you can, it's a little difficult, I know, but as a mental exercise, other side of this thing, let's say we've got, I mean, that's the hard part, right? Is it going to end? It probably won't just end abruptly. We'll kind of fade out of it. It'll kind of recede off, I guess. The shutdown or the close down could end. Then we have another few weeks and then we have to do another one or something. I guess those are all possibilities. So looking all the way into the future of another month or however long, what do you have in mind? Is it something you even want to look at? I mean, I guess as a business owner, you have to, but.
Yeah, we're hoping, or I'm hoping that the governor, I know the agricultural commissioner, he sent the governor a letter, you know, asking that essentially breweries be, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, not like an exemption, but a distinction between us and like in bars. Mm-hmm. So we could at least open because, you know, we do buy hops and grains. And a lot of stuff we do is, you know, locally sourced. I don't know. That's a hard one. I will be fine. I mean, the thing is, we do have a pretty supportive network out in Katy. That's for sure. When everyone was shut down, when everyone was in the same boat, our drive-through numbers were definitely better. And having restaurants that have bars be open right now, and we're closed down, it's a little unfair. And we can definitely see those numbers. But we also have distro, at least in grocery stores, which helps because at least there's another an avenue. But I worry about us, but I worry even more about the industry as a whole. Mm-hmm. I don't see, you know, at the last, we had a Craft Brewers Guild meeting. We hadn't had one in months, and we thought we were coming out of this, and a bunch of us got together at Spindletap a month ago or so. And one of the worries there was like, oh man, if there's a second round of shutdowns, like, how many breweries aren't going to make it to the other side? And about a week and a half later, I mean, that's exactly kind of what happened. So I'm really worried about the smaller tap rooms. They have maybe like lower overhead, but also like their only revenue stream is that curbside. And in a world where everyone's pockets are getting tighter, it's, man, it's going to be hard. Mm-hmm. I worry about it. I just don't know how the landscape's going to look.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it has to be different.
Yeah. It really is impossible. You know, I guess if somebody is probably going to get it, I guess they'll out of luck, you know, they're going to figure out what the best strategy is for the next, I don't know, over the next hill. But somebody will, you know, just because everybody's trying different options, I guess, but just impossible to nail that down. You know, who knows? It's just so weird. Reality is so weird right now, and you just can't shake that. That's the problem with everything. You just can't shake what is so real right in front of us. So it's, I don't know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we don't have a path to reopening either. So we're just kind of sitting on our hands, just, waiting for the governor to like turn the switch. And also there's a, at the other end of this, the things we do know are, there's accounts that are no longer going to be there. There's a lot of restaurants and bars that have already permanently shut down, like it's said to do. And that's probably going to get worse. And that's just, it's horrible because a lot of these accounts are mom and pop shops. There's people we know, places that we go visit, and those are places that no longer will be buying or selling beer. And so there's definitely going to be a drop in regards to that because of the absence. And I don't know. And then you do have fresh talent from all those places that'll be running around, and I'm sure they'll end up somewhere great, but it's, as the whole thing is just frustrating because when you see stories like Barry's Pizza closing, you're like, ugh. And then Thistle Draft Shop is like still open, but I know they're going through some issues, and it's just like across the board, it's just like everyone's, I went to get some, I went to Dak and Bop yesterday. They have delicious Korean fried chicken. And they have a, they just opened a new, or they opened a new location in the Heights-ish area. And I was there and I was like, how's the museum location doing? It's like, oh, we closed that down like 2 months ago. I was like, great. just the world is changing, and it's, I don't know if it's for the better or not.
Yeah. It's a little hard to keep track of too. I don't know if maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe we've got so much information coming at us. It's hard to decipher what's where and that sort of thing. So, it's one of when the rubble clears or the smoke clears. Yeah. I think the landscape will look significantly different, but, I wish there was, I'm sure there is, if somebody had the time or to look back and say, another time like this, was it like Prohibition or something like that? If you could mush down Prohibition to a shorter time scale, that was a little different because there was no end to that. Like when that happened, everybody was like, okay, nothing's coming back. But somehow people survived in that era. What can we learn from that? I don't know. I've watched that Ken Burns documentary 3 times and I still, I don't have any more answers, Tom. I've watched.
Yeah, no one does, man. That's the thing.
All right. Well, what do we? What do we do? What do we do have answers for? What's been? You got any shows or anything you've been watching lately? Books you've read? What do you, activities you've been doing? You do some running and stuff. What do we got?
I do running. I've been. Well, because after the last bout of quarantine, I dived hard into probably too many beers, like Scrooge McDuck into that piggy bank, but just cans of beer. But the so this time I was like, all right, that didn't work out so well. I'm gonna do another angle. So I have been running. And I've just been I've been catching up on some podcasts that I just kind of like have missed out on, and just been kind of just clearing my head, because if you kind of just there's a helplessness to this whole situation, and it's kind of rolling with the punches. So that being said, you only prepare so much. So
yeah.
Yeah, a nice long run to clear off the head is nice.
What do you listen to podcasts while you run?
So depending on how long the run is, mm-hmm. Yes. But I can only do running on a podcast for so long before I usually have to switch a little bit of music in there.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden I'll hear my knees.
Yes. Yes. I'll say that. That's any podcasts are great for drives. Podcasts are great for walks, but at a certain point, your brain goes to a different place and you start to tune out and not hear. And with music, you have the beat and you have, the rhythm and everything. And so it's like it drives you forward for a run or something like that. But, What distances are you running?
I did a half Monday. That was brutal. Typically, I go for like a 6 mile run.
Oh wow!
I was dating this girl, and she was a while back, and she was an Ironman. So the bar was set like so high, and I was like. And at that point, I'd done like a 5K and then maybe a 10K, but she was just going these incredible, like full marathons, and she would like swim 2 miles and bike 150 miles. And I was like, okay, I got to step up my game. I might be dating out of my league. I don't know what's going on. So to try to appear active, I just booked this series of races from like Thanksgiving to like past New Year's. Uh-huh. And basically it was like started with like 5K, then a 10K, then the 10 miler. And then it kind of went and ended at at my first half marathon, the Houston half. And it was, there was so much of me that was like, you can't do that. Like, it's impossible. You aren't this guy. Uh-huh. And then I did that Houston half marathon. It was really an amazing moment. Personally, for me, well, also, I love running because everything is kind of internal. It's like,
yeah,
your enemy is kind of yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Which for me, I'm like, that's why probably why I don't run, because it's like, oh no, I have to actually, I can't. So, but you know, yeah, that's one of those things. Like, when you're looking for somebody to date, they're always talking about, you know, be on the same page as far as kids and in-laws and money and religion and politics and that sort of thing. But fitness level, you know, that's probably number, it's probably right up there at the top. You know, if your girlfriend's running marathons and Ironman, ultra marathons and things like that, and you're more of a, you know, a sprinter.
Yeah. It's and everything that comes with it, right? Someone who's running half marathons and whatever, drinks a little less, you know, eats a little healthier, all that stuff kind of. So, dating in COVID. It's fun.
Yeah. I'm all for the carbo loading, but that's about where that's probably where I would not, that's where the relation would stop. That maybe is searching for footwear.
Yes.
I might be like, oh, those shoes look really comfortable.
That some running shoes are comfortable. They got a lot of cushion.
Yeah. And so that would be where our circles intersect. But after that, I'm like, I have a car. It'll go walk, you know, far.
Yeah.
So anyway.
But yeah, I agree with about the podcast and like in cars. So I think podcasts and cars is definitely the place for it. And there's something I listen to a lot of like the Joe Rogan podcast or like true crime podcasts, and there's just something about hearing those same voices, those same people. It's like a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have this relationship with someone you'll never meet in your life.
Yeah. That's one thing I've missed. I've been watching more like debates and stuff on YouTube than the podcast.
Oh.
You know, just on different things, silly thing. And then I got into like this whole, like, I'm not a gun enthusiast. I have an old gun that was my dad's, but I started watching all these gun videos, and they were comparing calibers and how far they would go through like paper plates. And for like a week, it was all that for me. I'm like, what grain, powder grain do you need to get through, you know, this stack of plates? And it just engulfed me. But I do miss my commute because my work schedule has changed a bit. It looks like it's about to go back, so I'll probably be back. I'm a big Joe Rogan podcast listener as well. So who's not, right? I think everybody listens to Joe Rogan. But
he'll talk to anyone.
Yeah, and that's what we need. That's what we need for sure. I will say this: the one thing that I don't know that it's been promoted, but anybody can get in a car and drive, and gas is so cheap right now, and there's not that many people on the road as compared to normal. You want to take, you know, we drove out to Fredericksburg. We have family in Fredericksburg, and we went, that's a, you know, some hill country driving, or just down to Galveston and back for a day. I mean, what else are you going to do? You're going to be sitting anyway, you know, listen to some podcasts, maybe go visit a brewery, you know, drive through a brewery that's further away and come back I don't know. Maybe that could be a new sport, like day drive. You know, what's the furthest somebody's gone for a day drive to get some drive through beer, something like that? Maybe we should probably start a whole Facebook group for that.
Listen, that's not a bad idea.
Actually, yeah. The more I think about it.
Yeah, it's in my head. It's in my head. And a nice trip to Austin to pick up some beer, like maybe in order for the weekend.
Yeah. I mean, Austin, from Houston to Austin, two and a half, depending where you're leaving from, three at the most. But you go, you used to grab some beer and a meal and drive back and pop in some podcasts. I mean, that's what else are you gonna do?
She's gonna learn. Yeah, exactly.
What else are you gonna do? You know? So I don't know. Maybe there's something to it. Maybe we, I don't know. What's the furthest you've ever been just to grab a beer?
I did a Paris run. That's probably the furthest I've ever gone. Okay. Solely on a mission to get some beer, which, that was like good times. I mean, that's one of the issues about all this stuff is like I really do miss that brewery traveling experience. The like going to Philly and going to the Evil Genius or like just traveling to places.
Yeah,
is nice. But then like just craft beer tourism. Like I'm a big fan, and especially from the. Kind of from the marketing angle, like I'm always just like kind of analyzing, like appreciating. Oh, look what they're doing with merch. Oh, look what they're doing with cans. I like this setup, and like it's like so much eye candy, and kind of missed that at the moment. During the first round of quarantine, I tried my best to hit two drive-throughs every weekend just to see how everyone else is doing. So. I need to get back to that. I've kind of been lacking as of late.
Yeah. Yeah. We need something. And then the cool thing about a road trip is, you know, if you're driving to San Antonio or Hill Country or somewhere like that, if you're, you know, driving up to East Texas or, you know, it's all doable in a day. But, you know, if you're a runner, you stop mid trip, take a few laps around the car or a rest area or something. I don't know. Run out and something. You get a run in, or you take a kettlebell, do some, you know, get the blood flowing, and I don't know. I feel like picnics out there somewhere in the sun. Listen, Tom, I think we've come up with something.
I like how you have this image of runners running around their car.
Yeah,
like you take out the car, take a few runs out. Listen, it's not the worst idea in the world because there is like I don't know. I've been trying to do the Netflix thing, but I spend half my time browsing Netflix. So I just like instead of actually landing on something to dive in.
Yeah.
A good day trip. I think just for me, like therapeutically, like it may be in order.
Yes. All right.
I like what you're selling.
Yeah. Let's. You know what? I don't know. Anybody who's hearing this. Let's start putting the word out. I don't know. I feel like it could be a thing. I mean, we've got, you know, a whole page for shotgunning and a whole group for shotgunning.
So. Yes, we do. I think that's what started my descent into the piggy bank madness was like, because that group is just, it's like, it's insane.
Yeah.
And and especially when that thing kick started, it was like shotgunning. I remember like, there's a lull in the drive-through, and I was working in the office, and I was talking to my girlfriend at the time, and Lindsay runs in. It's like Tom. I'm like, what's happening? It's like, we're all gonna do a shotgun in 5 minutes. It's like, hold on, all right, gotta go. And it's like, what? What's going on? I'm shotgunning a beer. It's like, isn't that what kids do? And I was like, what? Huh? You know, it's like no. This is an adult life.
Yeah, that's what it's. I have aspirations like the Renegade. I tried and I threw out a thumb trying to, you know, do the punch with the thumb, and then I started doing research online like how to Renegade, and I haven't been able to master it yet. But you know, there's life goals, and I guess I just
Some people are amazing. Like Garrison at Spindletap, he's like expert level shotgunning. He does it so quick. I don't know. And he's just like, just relax the back of your throat. I was like, and Josh, like over a beer plant along over at No Label, you know, he can shotgun like just like any tool, anytime, boom, shotgun, and like on demand, like all day long. He'll shotgun a beer, like I dared him to shotgun a Don Jalapeno off the line. I was like, you know what would be a great video is if you went like on the canyon line and shotgun a Don Jalapeno. That would be wild. And he's like, that would be a good video. And then the minutes later, there he is. He just like takes it, pops it, shotguns it. So it's like, I was like, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
It's like, how's your stomach feeling?
Yeah. Was he okay after that?
He was fine.
Have y'all ever considered a habanero version of that?
We have we've considered some variations, some ghost pepper variations and stuff like that.
Okay.
We've talked about making it like kind of like a series. The Ralph from I Fear No Beer, he's really pushing for a kind of a hot ones version of Don Jalapeno, where you have kind of this just kind of a variety pack with these different variations.
That would be fun. Hot ones is a show that's been some therapeutic viewing right there. But before we get too far away from shotgunning, Tony Drury, undisputed heavyweight champion of the Renegade and shotgun every day.
He's the grinder, man. He was like I've seen some crazy videos out there, but yeah, he started doing them, it's like every day, boom, boom, boom. And then yeah, he's made the most out of the pandemic, I'll tell you that much, doing those drive-by portraits and running all across the state and visiting everyone and all these breweries. He's made the most out of it. He's probably made, you know, 10 times as many friends as than he had before, which is already a lot. So it's solid. Stuff like that is like very him in general, like just like optimistic and good vibes just all the time from that. And that's one of those beacons of light in otherwise kind of murky world.
We need more of that. That's good stuff. So that road trips to pick up beer, I really hope you consider doing the hot ones lineup of pepper beers. That would be a lot of fun.
We've talked about it. So like our peppers get smoked over at Blood Brothers. They kind of smoke them and then we get them. Throw them in the boil, and Quee over there at Blood Brothers Barbecue, he's like, we need to get some ghost, we need to get some Carolina Reaper, we need to get all. I'm just like, he's like, oh, okay, man, hold on, you're gonna like destroy our lines, but you know, he's like, come on, man up, and I was like, who's gonna drink this? I mean, it'll be something. So it's like, all right, maybe a pilot batch or something, but I actually like Don Jalapeno. I can only do like probably one or two of them, and then you know, I am out for the count, and I got because my taste buds are essentially just my palate's completely destroyed.
Yeah.
But
it's one of those fun. It's a fun beer. It's not one you could do all day, you know, as a session.
It's not a sessionable beer. No. Some people just get it for cooking. We have this. Well, a lot of people they'll come like, give me a case. It's like, oh, I'm having a crawfish boil this weekend. Do some barbecue, and it's like, what, huh? And like people they'll put in a chili. That's like it's wild.
Yeah, you know what? I've made some beer bread not too long ago. That might be an interesting way to spice up some beer bread. That's actually, you know, all that. Beer's not just for drinking anymore. So versatile.
No, you can do a whole bunch of things with it. It's funny.
Yeah, I love beer, Tom. I love beer. I want you to know that I love beer.
I love beer too, and I also love this road trip idea. It's not getting out of my head.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
Which, okay, if you were going to go today, which direction would you go?
Oh, man.
Just spur them up.
West. West for sure.
Would you just head straight down I-10, or would you go, take a little roundabout?
I think I would just, you know, I'd, like, at the brewery, load up some beer, because I love wherever I go, I like to drop some you know, the beer postcard off. Mm-hmm. Which is one of the reasons I love this industry, but probably just head west, because I think that drive is because I'm in it for the drive, right. And heading east is kind of, it's not the best drive. Mm-hmm. Heading north is also, man, once you get out of like Conroe, it's just nothing.
Yeah.
I think west is the best bet. It's the best kind of scenic, things are happening type of drive. Mm-hmm. It gets a little chilly. So somewhere in Austin or maybe San Marcos. That would be a fun day. Stop over in Brenham. Go to the OG Truth Barbecue. Mm-hmm. It's circulating. It's happening.
Yeah, I'm looking at the beer map. I've got a Google map that has all the Texas breweries, and you know, when you think about it, you're heading west, you kind of, you know, you're, there's this patch of breweries. It's, you know, No Label and then Baba and let's see who else is Huff, and then, you know, depending on which way you go, Brazos Valley and all that kind of stuff. But then like LaGrange is kind of the midpoint where there's not a whole lot there other than a historic brewery that. They don't brew any beer at that, you know, 1820 brewery or whatever it is anymore. But after LaGrange, then it's, you know, you start to get into the Austin, San Antonio, Hill Country, and it's everywhere. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I will say the drive to Fredericksburg up to 90, we probably passed, I don't know, 10 breweries. Just not getting off of 290.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, once you get to like, you know, Johnson City has two right there or three, and then you get into Fredericksburg, and then they're just all over the place. Once you get there, then you're just so close to so many. So you could do a Houston road trip too.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I've done a few of those. I mean, Houston is its own kind of weird animal, right? Like you can drive for an hour and still be in the same place. It's wild.
You could do like just looking at it, the Beltway, tour, anything, you know, just anything right off the Beltway, or you could do the 610 loop tour. You could do the crisscross. You could do the up and down. I don't know. It's I'm gonna start labeling these things up. I mean, I know you're all about No Labels, but sometimes we need some labels. So I don't know, things to think about, Tom.
I know. I make that joke a lot. That was because we've put so many labels on beers this year, and our operations manager is like, "Ugh, Tom, every beer you're gonna put a label on?" I was like, "Yes, I know it's No Label, but it turns out we actually need labels to sell beer. Otherwise, it's just a silver can."
Maybe you should throw a K and a W. No label. Anyway, all right. Well, Tom, I don't want to take up your entire day, but I do appreciate you chatting with me for a little while, and you know, just
absolutely, man.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
It was fun.
It was fun, and I'm taking this road trip idea. I'm serious.
Good. I want to see it. We all need to start posting it, because it's, I can't believe it's taken us this long to think about it, but it's to actually, you know, do it. You know, when you have the moments, why not? It's a good time to, if you're in the car with somebody else, heck, you know what? Record those conversations. That's a great podcast episode. Boom. Double.
Yeah, absolutely.
Double dip. So, anyway. All right. Well, Tom, drive through open at No Label now. Merch, some of the best merch in town, or in, you know, the No Label hats and everything. Some of the best merch. So get some No Label merch, everybody. And some of the best beers and the best people. And, you know, Tom right there with them. So, Tom Painter, Thank you, sir.
Thank you, man. It's good to finally connect.
Yeah, I want to sit down and have a beer together and do one of these shows together at the brewery, hopefully sooner than later. But that's
God willing.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, everybody, thank you for listening to this episode of Inner Brews. Go visit No Label. Wherever you're listening to this, put them on your road trip destination for one of your beer pickup road trips, because that's now a new thing. This is where it was started. So anyway, all right. So for Tom, I'm Josh. This is Inner Brews.
This is Inner Brews.
The preceding has been a presentation of Stewed Productions.